You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I think the official opening is tomorrow, but the ceremonial opening is tonight. For the Berlin Wall exhibit at Union Station, we had Dr. Axel Klausmeier in yesterday. He's in charge of it.
Incredible.
The curator, for lack of a better word. Dan, you went and saw the Berlin Wall exhibit at Union Station this morning.
Yes.
How was it?
It was fantastic. Got a sneak preview, wandered around, very quiet, got to look at a lot of things in there. I was very impressed because it's not just an exhibit about the wall and the pieces of the wall, the giant pieces of the wall that are here.
And they have several.
They have six sections of the wall here. Huh. And it's more than just that. It is a tale of the geopolitics of the 20th century, coming out of World War II, all the stuff going on in Europe, even here in the U.S. And what I liked about this was the way that it opened up Kansas City's role in the Cold War. It wasn't some aside thing where they're like, okay, here's something for the local folks.
Right.
We'll put it at the end. No, it opens with Kansas City. And I thought,
really?
Okay, this is really interesting here. And as you walk through, they take you through the years, and you get up close, and you see all these little items, and the radios, and the TV broadcasts, and I think it's well done.
Six,
and it's well worth your time.
The six original segments of the wall, I think this is so cool, arrived at Union Station after a trip of about 4,000 nautical miles from Barcelona, Spain. The Spanish traveling exhibit company, that's that Moselea he was talking about yesterday, opened the exhibit in November of 2023 in Madrid. Then it went to Paris. Kansas City is the first stop in the entire United States for this exhibit.
It's incredible.
Same production company, by the way, that did the Auschwitz exhibit, and it'll be here through or up to or through the
I think you said November
new year further than that.
Okay.
You have plenty of time to go see it. How much time did you would you or could you take to get through it, Dan?
I could have taken a lot more time. I did it about 45 minutes, but I was moving at a pretty good clip. I did not stop to read everything.
Do they get into like the Berlin airlift, and which predated the wall by more than a decade?
Right, yeah, they do get into the history of everything that was going on, even the Cuban Missile Crisis and how it played into this whole thing, because it wasn't just about the wall in Berlin. This was a global thing that was going on.
One of the most,
the Cold War.
Yeah, one of the most fascinating conversations I ever had in my entire life. Shonda and I, when we were still married, went to Munich before we even had kids in 1999, I think it was. And we're sitting in the lobby of our hotel in Munich. And she's getting a bunch of pamphlets about, you know, Neuschwanstein and all these other places we could go and visit. And I'm sitting there in the lobby on a couch. And this old man sits down next to me. And he's an American. And we get to talking. And I just asked him, I said, you know, what are you doing here? And why are you here? And he was there for a reunion of the pilots of the Berlin airlift.
Oh, wow.
He was one of them.
Wow.
And I picked his brain. I probably annoyed the hell out of him. But I picked his brain for about 45 minutes.
Incredible.
It was fascinating. And he said, we would land. We would constantly be taking off. And you would be flying into Berlin, and a plane lands, and within 30 seconds, you land right behind it.
Yeah.
It was that many planes just coming in constantly, because you're trying to feed a city of 2 million people, right?
Yeah.
And just constant supplies being flown in for month after month after month.
Hmm. Yeah, I think the context around this Berlin Wall exhibit that's opening up at Union Station, I think they do a good job of putting everything into context.
Go see it. And if you missed the interview yesterday, my goodness, with the head of the exhibit, but also the head of the Berlin Wall Foundation, we had them both in studio. We kept them the entire hour. You can find that wherever you get your podcast. Listen to this from the Kansas City Star, Scott.
Okay.
Why did the Ray County Sheriff's Office buy beer, TVs, and 76 hams?
Christmas party?
The audit is back, and there is still no answer for why the Ray County Sheriff's Office spent more than $5,500 in county money on beer, cigarettes, and remarkably 76 hams.
They had 152 employees.
The Missouri State Auditor's Office announced this week.
It's not Odyssey.
Nearly 3 years after Auditor Scott Fitzpatrick released a scathing audit of the Sheriff's Office's extraordinary spending practices, the follow-up was announced in a report this week. It found that the agency, now led by somebody new, Sheriff Gary Blackwell, isn't hamstrung by prior administration's mismanagement, but there is room for improvement. Quoting here from Fitzpatrick, "I do wish the county had made a stronger effort to obtain restitution for $3,000 that is still missing. They do not know who bought the 76 hams.
Oh, come on.
I'm telling you where they went, and two former sheriffs apparently faced criminal charges over that."
It's quite the cookout.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it was.
They have no idea who bought all the beer.
Cigarettes.
76 hams.
No.
Okay.
Why would one use county money to buy 76? What, are you going to sell them out of your trunk? Well, you come get your ham.
As Sam said, you give half a ham to every employee at Christmas time.
Right, right.
Just like KMBZ did.
This story today, I love this story. We want to know what is the craziest thing you've ever been fired for, because listen to this. A fired J.P. Morgan employee who claimed wrongful termination over a $642 deli platter for the Super Bowl has been awarded $4 million. A $642 deli platter has cost J.P. Morgan Chase $4.25 million. A Wall Street arbitration panel ordered the banking giant to pay veteran Beverly Hills broker Brent Bodner millions in damages for his firing last year over an expense account submission linked to a business meeting at his home. More specifically, the meeting was during the Super Bowl, and he ordered a $600 meat and cheese tray for it.
Did he entertain clients?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yes.
Now, these are rich bankers we're talking about, right?
Yes. The platter was delivered to his house, ordered a few days before the game. Assistant sought approval for the meeting. That was granted. Then he was fired.
Mm.
It will cost J.P. Morgan Chase $4.25
If he's so rich, why
million
would...
dollars.
If he's so rich, why would you even submit the expense account?
Because it was a client meeting.
To stay rich?
It's if you work for a company and you are entertaining clients and you have the company credit card for entertaining clients, would you put that out of your own checking account?
Well,
I wouldn't.
Well, if I'm sitting in my $4 million home in Beverly Hills, I'm probably going to, forgive the pun, eat the expense.
In every workplace in America, J.P. Morgan tried to say, submitting an inaccurate expense report is grounds for termination.
That tells me they were looking for a reason.
He did request permission.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like they literally started adding zeros. Back to Ray County, by the way. Is that not the same county where the sheriff was accused of using inmates for work outside of the jail?
That is correct.
I
think we figured out where all those cigarettes,
hams, and
beer
went. We paid them in hams! Look, I can't give you cash. How do you feel about 26 hams?
913-586-7798. 586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. All right, this story from KSNW in Wichita. Officials in a northeast Kansas county are asking state lawmakers to tackle a growing problem before it turns deadly. The Marshall County, never even heard of it, Marshall County Board of Commissioners voted this week to send a letter to lawmakers and the Attorney General calling for a task force to figure out how to best regulate storm chasing. It follows an influx of hundreds of chasers who came to Kansas on May 18th in hopes of catching a tornado. The Marshall County Sheriff said he had to drive on the wrong side of the road for 2 miles because a train of chasers would not pull over. Quoting here.
Wow.
From Sheriff Tim Ackerman. I think what bothered me the most was the true arrogance that they thought they could ignore all the laws and do whatever they wanted. Then had one online referring to himself as a first responder. No, you are not a first responder. Right now, you're a criminal.
Wow.
However, the letter says the regulations would have to walk a fine line because some chasers do perform scientific research and aid in active storm awareness.
There is video. There are photos out there of the storm chasers that literally clogged the road during that tornado into the Blue Rapids area. We reached out to Chief Meteorologist Brian Busby to weigh in on this. An actual storm chaser, I'm going to use that word, Brian, trained, who's trained hundreds of others. How would they go about navigating this? There have been deaths over this.
Yeah, there have. I mean, I don't know if you remember the series that was on cable. I forget what channel it was, where Reed Timmer was one of the chasers. Then a guy by the name of Tim Samaras was a chaser as well. And there was a third chase team that was trying to get a panoramic view from inside the tornado to sell to IMAX theaters, if you remember that.
Yeah.
This is like a decade ago before Timmer really took off. Long and short of it is Tim Samaras was probably the most conservative of them all, but he got pinched off in the storm and he had no way out. And he, his driver and his son were all killed because there's looky-loos, other people who are out there who want to get the adrenaline rush, kind of pinched him in and he had nowhere to go.
Brian, the Blue Rapids Police Department estimates as many as 500 vehicles were in the area when the tornado touched down east of town. Does this start online where one chaser says, hey, the conditions are ripe, let's head to Blue Rapids? How many people can even live in Blue Rapids? And then they have 500 people.
Is that in Kansas?
Yes, I've never even heard of it.
Well, that's just it. I'm sure a lot of folks will look at the Storm Prediction Center, what they put out, where they bullseye the area. And then there are apps where you can see where other storm chasers are located, dots, which are like GPS. And so you say, okay, well, this is where we should go. Just like in the original movie Twister, one of your favorites, you see where the one chase team wanted to go, the Bill Paxton chase team wanted to go this way. And then all of a sudden, Carey, his team said, well, follow him.
Yeah.
So that's what happens. One has a good sense, a good intuition, and then everybody else says, I'm going to follow them. And then all of a sudden, these county roads just can't survive and support it. And so what happens is, as he was talking about, people are trying to get there in a hurry. People are trying to sell their video to CNN and to Fox to make money. And so it's a tough thing. And I've seen more and more chasers speeding, going across the double yellow, and as he's saying, breaking the law in the name of getting that shot that some people may or may not be able to even sell.
But Brian, how do you differentiate between what you referred to just a moment ago as, quote, looky-loos, and there are storm chasers that people like you and other TV stations and the National Weather Service rely on
yes.
to confirm or deny whether there's an actual tornado on the ground?
I think it has to do with some sort of continuing education, not just having a weather app on your phone and seeing both Twister movies. There's got to be a little more science to that
right.
than just that. And, you know, the four of us, Dan was also there, saw the second movie. And, you know, one of the scenes was kind of interesting that they had everybody go to a movie theater, which has a sprawling roof, which we tell people, you don't want to go into a gymnasium or an auditorium or a movie theater, but it made it on the movie. I think there's just got to be some sort of education. I just don't know how you regulate it. I just don't know.
I don't either, because we want Nick Bender out there showing us what's going on, but you don't want him trapped within 500 cars. Brian, that is insanity.
By the way, Blue Rapids has a population of less than 1,000.
Salute, as they used to say on Hee Haw. Wow. So there are more chasers than there were actually people there trying to save.
Yes, on a county road.
Hmm. I think it's going to be a difficult thing to try to wrap your arms around just because of the excitement. And don't forget, was it about 8 to 10 years ago, there were folks who were selling tornado chase tours where you may get one, you may not.
Yep,
I remember that.
So all of a sudden, there's this appetite and this adrenaline rush. where, you know, I love a good roller coaster, but now roller coasters go upside down. You know, now they do all sorts of things that physics is not intended to do because we've raised the bar. And I guess I think we've raised the bar on our expectations for severe weather coverage, and all, not only that, but just anybody being able to see severe weather.
But and lastly, Brian, before we get to some calls here in a minute, I mean, the sheriff is right. You know, if you're illegally stopped on the side of a county road and I'm having to drive 2 miles on the wrong side of the road to get somewhere, you are more part of the problem than you are the solution.
Yep.
However, people have the right to be dumb.
This is true. What was one of the comedians who always talked about thinning the herd? Well,
yes.
You know, there is that one thing, but just don't take me along with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Chief Meteorologist Brian Busby with Channel 9. Do appreciate your time. Thank you.
Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
Love you too, buddy.
Be well.
913-586-7798. Do we not have free will? Do you not have the right
to clog a highway?
To be an idiot? How many people stop their cars under a bridge?
Which you are not supposed to do.
Exactly. In a hailstorm.
Yeah, clogging traffic behind you.
Yes. And you are breaking the law. That is true. But what kind of legislation could the House and the Senate in Topeka pass?
That's going to stop that.
I mean, because in the middle of a tornado warning, this sheriff in Marshall County, and God bless him, and I think he's... I think his intentions are good, but the road to hell is paved with good intention. And is he going to, on his way to some other emergency, stop and start ticketing storm chasers?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
I think it's window dressing at best. And and how do you differentiate between the ones who are out for the adrenaline rush and the ones who are out, who are trained, who are working for, say, Channel 9.
Right, and you used to be able to say, Scott, well, you know, because you'll see KNBC on the, there'll be some sort of official marking. There are chasers now that go out and wrap their cars with Big Bob's tornado chasers.
Right. Well.
How do you know?
And do you not have.
How do you know? Does that guy have a meteorology degree? Probably not.
And I had forgotten about the storm tourism industry that popped up about a decade ago. Do you not have the right? I can't believe I'm defending these people.
I know.
Do you not have the right to say, hey, you know, for $150, get in my car, and maybe we will, maybe we won't, but I'm going to try to get you a tornado.
You have the right to, whether or not you can find insurance for that company.
Yeah,
is,
yeah.
Totally
because most of the deaths, by the way, you do not get sucked up in a tornado. Most of the deaths out chasing are car wrecks, hydroplaning.
Is that right?
Yes, absolutely right.
913-586-7798. Bob, Cooper, the others, we'll get to you in just a moment. 913-586-7798. So the Marshall County, Kansas Board of Commissioners is writing a letter to the state legislature and the attorney general asking for some sort of remedy for all of the storm chasers that keep flooding into their county whenever there's a tornado warning. And Dana was just showing me pictures of all the cars, and it is a very long line.
The problem is on top of the clogged traffic. God forbid a tornado does touch down. First responders now have no way to get in to help. You are now in the way. You are now part of the problem.
You are the problem.
Yeah.
913-586-7798. Bob in on the west side. Hello, Bob.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
Just a quick fact check for Brian's comment on the Samaras situation. They were caught in a multi-vortex tornado, the El Reno tornado, one of the largest ever recorded, that did some funky things and just caught them up in a satellite tornado. It had nothing to do with chaser clog necessarily. That being said, you know, you can see maps of this latest outbreak where all the spotters were.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. Somebody's going to get killed. It's going to be bad. A mass casualty event because you just can't escape. There's nowhere to go.
So what do you do about it?
Well, Scott, I don't know, because, you know, in America, you have the right to do stupid stuff to a certain extent. And if you want to go out and chase a tornado, which I used to do until I got a little close one time, you're allowed to go do that. And, you know, it's kind of like the surfers who surf when there's a hurricane coming, you know, just knucklehead behavior. You're allowed to be a knucklehead.
Yeah, but your rights extend, and I know you would agree with me on this, Bob, your rights extend only so far as they don't infringe upon mine.
That's fair.
And,
you know, I mean, you have freedom of travel. I mean, I don't know. Now, the law enforcement should definitely, if you're breaking traffic rules, you got to take care of that. And you can watch spotters online, and I do it all the time, and it just makes me cringe when they're blowing through stop signs and blowing through this and blowing through just reckless behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't have a good answer on what to do. I just know that it is a problem. Big
yeah.
time.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Bob, do appreciate the call. Thank you for it, man. Cooper, line 2, 913-586-7798. Hello, Cooper.
Hey. Yeah, so I studied meteorology in college, and, you know, I went out about a month ago down to Independence, Kansas, and there was a storm down there, turned into a large multi-vortex tornado, and what blew me away was kind of the first time I had kind of chased by myself was the amount of traffic. And I mean, this thing became rain wrapped and people were diving south into, you know, towards Independence, and it was like a 40-50 car convoy. And what freaked me out more wasn't even the tornado, but like the traffic and just not being able to get out of harm's way. And yet I'm calling in knowing I'm probably contributing to the problem here, but I also see, like, I don't know how this would be regulated. And you know, it is one of those things where, you know, stupid can go do stupid things if it wants to. And, you know, but yeah, I don't know. Just my thoughts. I mean, it's just like, I don't know how they regulate that, because it's like one of those things where it's like they can't pull over the masses. But I mean, like everybody's mentioned, you know, there's massive crowds that come out here, and it's just the big social media hit over the last several years more of this stuff being, you know, being pushed on to, you know, YouTube and Twitter and all of it. And I mean, more and more people are going to continue to do this. And one last thing, like, I met a guy who drove overnight from Wisconsin down to central Kansas just to come see storms. And I mean, this guy, you know, no disrespect to him, you know, knew nothing about what he was looking at or what he was doing, and just kind of following the crowd.
I think I see rotation.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but that's 60 to 70% of the people there. And, you know, I feel comfortable enough, like, I know what I'm doing, but I mean, there's a lot of people out there who don't. And, but yeah, anyways.
All right. Hey, Cooper, do appreciate the call. Let me ask you about this. When, let's say it's a weekend, it's Saturday afternoon, early evening, and I don't mean to break Brian's heart, but Brian Busby's heart, but when he pops on TV and says, we've got rotation in Western Shawnee, it's time to head to your safe place, to your basement, whatever.
You look out the window first.
Everybody goes out the front door.
Just for a second, and then you go.
To see if you can see it.
I'm telling you, when I heard the sirens last time, it was up and at them. We are going downstairs.
Yep. But how do you differ? I mean, especially in a small county like Marshall County, Kansas, which until today, within the past hour, I had never even heard of.
Just the fact that there are 500 cars out there tells you this is a massive problem.
But how does a sheriff who has so many other, I mean, a department that's probably got what? 7 people.
Oh, I think that is.
And I'm being generous. Okay. And the sheriff is always on call, and he's trying to get from point A to point B because there's an emergency.
Yeah.
And here we have 500 cars or more.
You know, some of them, like, tiny little sedans. I'm just saying, like, can't you sort of tell if you're not in? And when tornado comes, look, if you're in a Land Rover, you can be picked up and killed.
Oh, sure.
But some of the
not
cars the that I'm seeing in the photos. It's like, what is that, a Beetle that I see out there?
But if you are a trained storm spotter, okay, you don't have to have an SUV.
Do you have to have paperwork? I would carry something.
Is the sheriff going to waste his time?
No, but if I was there for the National Weather Service or spotting for one of the television stations, I would want something showing that I know what I'm doing. Like, Marge over there in the Beetle needs to get out of my way.
Like a bumper sticker?
Do you carry around your PhD with you?
I don't know.
Because Reed Timmer, PhD in meteorology, a couple of folks on the text line say they know local people who are local who go chase storms with PhDs in meteorology. They're not weather people. They're not working for anybody.
I think Bender should wear a t-shirt that says, out of my way, I'm Nick Bender, bitches.
Okay. He probably already has that t-shirt.
You know he does.
But, you know, I'm torn on this one because, you know, as I said to Cooper or to Bob, I can't remember which one, your rights, you do have rights. You have the right to be an idiot.
On a county road.
Yeah.
That tax dollars pay for.
You have the right to not listen to a TV meteorologist who says, get to your basement, and you have the right to get in your car and go see if you can catch that storm. But your rights only extend so far as they don't infringe upon mine. And if
the problem is you don't know that you're trampling on my safety and rights until we are in the moment and there's 500 cars clogging a county road.
Right. And I need an ambulance because I just had a heart attack or there was an accident at my home and I need ambulance service and the ambulance can't get to me because you morons are blocking the road.
Yeah.
Let's go to Betty.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yes,
hi,
course.
Betty.
Hi, I'm from Oklahoma. Went through a lot of tornadoes, went to the movie, did not go to the movie, but the Twister movie, kind of vicariously sort of connected to that. And anyway, I went through a class at the library in Parkville, Missouri on storm spotting. And so an idea, I've seen the clogs, not like what has just been talked about up north, but maybe I did not follow through with being a storm spotter, but maybe there's a certification when you take the classes, whatever they allow with volunteers, you have to have a big thing on the side of your car. And if you don't, the police can send you away or something.
Like a big magnet that says, I belong here.
Volunteer, whatever. Yes. Yes. That is an idea. But can I say a real fast story?
No, please.
That's really kind of funny. Okay, in Lawrence, Kansas, we're back here, but we lived here in the 80s and 90s. And Hank Booth, bless his soul.
Yeah.
Oh, I knew Hank very well. I worked for Hank.
Oh, you're so lucky. During a big storm, and my family was under a stairwell, tornadoes and everything, apparently he was a storm spotter. Of course, he had the radio station, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he was on the dam of Clinton Lake, and we're listening to the radio, and he says, oh, my gosh, Lawrence, get down. You're going to be annihilated. It's coming right for you. I mean, he got so excited because no one loved Lawrence more than Hank Booth,
yes,
right?
Yeah,
that is true.
Last time they let him be a storm spotter.
That was it.
Is that right?
He freaked everybody out. That's a great story, Betty.
But anyway, great topic. I'm going to hang out and let you talk.
Thank you. Thank you for it.
Be well.
Go KU
well.
Baseball.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
So anytime Brad Pitt's in the news, you know, localish. Kind handsome, of. Talented man that he is.
Okay.
We'd like to pass it along to you. Brad Pitt has been sued by a Malibu-based company that sells cream for men, not facial. We'll leave it at that.
I'm sorry?
What?
So here's what happened.
What part of your body is it for? Oh, the...
Boy, it itches down there?
A Malibu-based brand known for its high-end cream down there has filed a lawsuit against Brad Pitt saying Brad's company that is not for cream down there infringed upon their trademark.
Hmm. Interesting.
The company is called Beau D. Entered the market
in
2020.
What's the D stand for?
I don't know, Scott.
Inquiring minds would like to know.
They have accused Pitt of changing the name of his own company to something similar. Pitt co-founded the French beauty brand line Le Domaine in 2022.
I don't even know what that means.
In partnership with the Perron family.
Huh?
one of the premium winemakers of Provence, France. Last summer, the company rebranded itself, Pitt's company, from Le Domaine to Beaudomaine. Beaudomaine, D-O-M-A-I-N-E, not Beau-D. That's when friends of the creator of Beau-D alerted him to the similarities between Beau-D and Beaudomaine.
You're not saying Beau-D right. It's Beau-D.
Beau-D.
All right.
They went to Brad Pitt and said, hey, that's our cream. And Brad said, no, it's not. My cream doesn't have anything to do with that. My cream is more for this. And they go, no, we're going to sue you. And so they sued. And Pitt has not submitted a response.
Why not just keep making movies and stay out of the...
Oh, he's in all kinds. They're on all kinds of... he has like a tequila, I think, with George Clooney. He has wineries. You got to branch out with what interests you. Yeah, why not?
Like D-cream?
No.
He was doing face cream.
Oh,
Brad Pitt is... This is a beautiful high-end cream. Mm.
For faces.
Yes.
Not for...
No.
So when you
and
order...
And Beaudomaine, you don't have the right to the word B-E-A-U.
Well, it could... Maybe their branding, and rather than spelling out domain or whatever it's supposed to be, just says Beau-D.
No, they didn't do it that way, Sam. Okay. It's Beaudomaine.
So when you order Brad Pitt's cream and Amazon brings it to your door, do you say what's in the box?
Yes, Scott, you do. What's in the box?
Nice.
Beau-D! So,
we're talking about lotion?
I don't know.
Cream.
I didn't click on the link, Dan.
Cream.
Oh. Mm.
Dan, why don't you Google it?
Okay.
Yeah.
On your work computer.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
It's lotion.
It's a bizarre lawsuit. We will leave it at that. Poor Brad. Leave him alone.
Maybe they have an acronym BD for the company.
No, they don't. Sam, they don't. They don't have that.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we didn't know about Beau-D until now.
Yeah,
so
now, exactly.
There you go. Publicity
stunt. I bet you they filed the lawsuit just so people would go, oh, let me look that up. What is that for?
What does D stand for?
All right, we're done.
It's like 1587 shoes. Nobody had ever heard of them until 1587 Prime opened up.
That's exactly right.
Five Kansas City area cities are among the best places to live in Missouri, according to a new ranking. Would you like to guess?
Lee's Summit.
Three KC area cities made the top 10 with respect to living in Missouri.
Lee's Summit.
Number four, Lee's Summit.
Liberty.
No.
Parkville.
No.
Really?
I think they went for affordability too.
Oh, okay.
Independence?
Lee's Summit earned fourth place on the list. Independence came in at number 11.
Yeah, it did.
Sam. By the way, 57% of the population in Independence is single, according to this survey. No, do not say it.
I guarantee a Sugar Creek ain't on there.
St. Joe, you came in at number 8 with a median rent price of $733.
Blue Springs.
Number 5, Blue Springs, Missouri. Scored 1 point behind Lee's Summit.
Lee's Summit.
City's median age is around 37 years old. 59,000 people live there.
North Kansas City.
That's it. Those are the only ones that made the list.
Oh, okay. What's number one?
So of all the rankings in Missouri,
yeah.
Let me look up the entire list. I will tell you. I just looked
Girardeau?
At the Kansas City ones. St. Peter's, Missouri comes in number one, followed by O'Fallon. St. Charles.
All in St. Louis.
Lee's Summit, Blue Springs. Jeff comes in at number 6.
Obviously did not consider safety in these rankings.
Clearly.
Columbia comes in at 7.
Best cities to dodge a bullet.
St. Joe, number 9. Florissant is 8. Cape Girardeau is 10. No. Kansas City, Missouri comes in at number 12. There's Springfield, 15. There you have it.
Nothing in the boot heel, Cape Girardeau or
Haiti?
Not that I see.
Huh. Okay. How many poops should you have a day?
One.
That is correct. As many as you want.
That is correct.
At least one.
GIs say that one a day is healthy. Although some people have three a week and some people have three a day.
That's called IBS.
When is the most opportune time to go number deuce?
Not when you get on an airplane.
Within 15 minutes of waking up.
Within 20 to 30 minutes of waking up. That is correct.
If you are not ready to drop a load right after that alarm goes off, that is a sign that your health is not where it needs to be.
Sam, I didn't need to know that, but thank you.
It's a fact.
Men have been talking about their constitutionals for a long time.
Yep, that's right.
Thank you, Dan.
News with Dan. Dan, coming your
way. I'm going to start combing through the stack before I let you have it.
News with Dan coming your way in 2 minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.